At one of the state conferences to which I was assigned, a home teacher was invited to be a speaker at the general session on Sunday morning. He began by telling about a man who accidentally fell into the waters of the Niagara River some distance above the falls. And as he was carried downstream by the current, he called out repeatedly, "Which way to shore? Which way to shore?" There were people along the banks on both sides of the river who saw and heard this man, but they were slow to act. And it wasn't until his body was precariously close to the falls that some of the people along the banks went into action, tried to get ropes to him to pull him from the water. But they'd waited too long, and he went over the brink of the falls and was killed. When his body was recovered and identification made, the horizons of those along the banks of the river were pushed back, and their understandings improved and increased. Yes, the man could swim. They noticed that he could swim and could keep himself afloat, so they thought he was engaged in some kind of a publicity stunt. Yes, he could swim, but he could not swim with purpose or direction because he was blind. Now, that illustration used by a home teacher to try to motivate the members of his stake to become more actively involved in discharging their responsibilities in fellowshipping and doing missionary work with their non-member friends and neighbors had a missionary punch or push or thrust. But as I thought about that illustration, I found that there were many messages there for me. There are many people in the earth, in this world, who are in distress, who in their hearts are calling out, "Which way to shore?" All too often, those of us who are around them do not even hear them. Or if we do, we do not respond because we allow ourselves to become so busy doing this or that or the other that we are not tuned in properly. Or perhaps it's because we just don't want to get involved. Well, let me say, my brothers and sisters, that if we want to save individuals, save the souls of our Father's children, we must be willing to get involved, and we must be willing to help others get involved in meaningful ways. Now, some of those who are calling out for help are the honest in heart, those who are earnestly seeking the truth, but they do not know where to find it. They fit into the category referred to in Doctrine and Covenants, section 123, verse 12, which reads as follows: "For there are many yet on the earth among all sects, parties, and denominations who are blinded by the subtle craftiness of men, who lie in wait to deceive, and who are only kept from the truth because they do not know where to find it." My brothers and sisters, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has the truth. The fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, restored to earth in these the last days through the prophet Joseph Smith. Furthermore, this church has received a charge from our Lord and Savior to proclaim the restored gospel message to all the world. And obedient to that church charge, the church is carrying out a very vigorous missionary program in many countries of the world. And in addition, the members of the church have been charged with the responsibility to do missionary work with our non-member friends and neighbors, and to do a better job of living the gospel so that their lives are shining examples of the gospel of Jesus Christ in action. Then they are really being missionaries by example, as well as by speaking or by offering precepts for the consideration of others. We say to the honest in heart everywhere, listen to our message. Give it prayerful, careful consideration, and then seek a witness from on high through the power of the Holy Ghost that our message is true. There's just too much at stake to do otherwise. We make some strong claims in our church. We do not apologize for that. We have that responsibility. We have the truth. We're proclaiming the truth. Give it careful, prayerful consideration. Some of those who are calling out for help are confused and disturbed by this complex, somewhat contradictory world in which we live, a world that has many crosswinds and crosscurrents. Well, it has even some eddies and whirlpools that can entrap and destroy. Let us remember that. Many of these people are yearning for the inner peace and the joy that really can come only through love of God and love of fellow men and from keeping God's commandments. We have been promised in Deuteronomy, in the 4th chapter and the 29th verse, that if we seek the Lord diligently, we shall surely find him. And these are the words, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Remember that, you the honest in heart, wherever you may be, and listen to our message. In some cases, those who are seeking help are young people who are the products of broken homes, or who have been raised under conditions where force has been used instead of love, and where there is contention and strife and bickering, quarreling, instead of unity and harmony. It's been my great privilege to work with young people all my life, and I know that oftentimes young people raised under those conditions frequently lack purpose and direction in their living. Some who need help are in bondage to sin and seemingly cannot break those bonds without help from others. Many of them are crying out in their hearts for assistance. Some of them haven't yet reached the stage where they've truly repented, but they need assistance in that too. Others are having difficulty reconciling science and religion, perhaps because they have pulled the horizons in too close and haven't brought into the picture all that they should bring into the picture in order to see relationships clearly, to interpret correctly and draw sound conclusions. And perhaps because they have used man's measuring sticks instead of the Lord's, God's relationships and measuring sticks. Some who need help are disillusioned because they have been taken advantage of by dishonest individuals. And then there are those who do not have loved ones or friends, or seemingly they do not have friends. And they are lonely and discouraged and need the hand of fellowship extended to them. My brothers and sisters, how fortunate we are to have the gospel of Jesus Christ in its fullness and the marvelous programs of this church, and a living prophet, a true prophet of God, to guide us and direct us in these troubled times. I say to you, my brothers and sisters, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the way to shore and to safety, to happiness, to eternal life, and to eternal joy. It can light the way for all who will open their eyes, their ears, and their hearts. But it isn't enough for us to just look and listen. We must listen and apply. We must act. This has been stated very effectively, I feel, by the poet Longfellow in his poem, Psalm of Life, which is one of my favorites. And I'd just like to repeat part of that at this time. "Trust no future, howe'er pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act, act in the living present, heart within and God o'erhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn or shipwrecked brother, seeing, shall take heart again." Then, let us then be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing. Learn to labor and to wait. So let us remind ourselves, my brothers and sisters, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be lived. Not just read about or talked about or thought about. It is to be lived. And that's where it takes on its great power in the lives of men and women and in building the kingdom of God. As we learn to do that, my brothers and sisters, we are blessed. For the Lord has said, "I, the Lord, am bound when ye do what I say, but when ye do not what I say, ye have no promise." And as we are able to perfect our lives, the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ become more and more meaningful. And we experience that inner joy and peace for which there is no substitute. Now we all know we do not have to obey the laws of God or keep the commandments because we have our free agency. But I should like to emphasize that none of us have our free agency to determine the consequences of the choices that we make, because laws operate. Laws operate. And along with the exercising of our free agency, we become accountable and responsible for our acts. The scriptures are replete with examples of what happens when people do not keep the commandments, do not heed the words of the prophets. And all we have to do is think about what happened to the wicked through the floods in the days of Noah, or what happened when Jerusalem was destroyed, or what happened to the Jaredites and the Nephites in Book of Mormon days, because they did not keep the commandments, they did not listen to the prophets' voices. I think we should also remember that the scriptures and even secular history are replete with examples of what can happen when people do keep the commandments of God. And those great blessings have been referred to in various ways during this conference. Reference was made, I believe, in the welfare meeting this morning to Enoch and the righteousness of the people that were associated with him. Let me just read verse 67 from the 7th chapter of Moses and the Pearl of Great Price. And the Lord showed Enoch all things, even unto the end of the world. And he saw the day of the righteous, the hour of their redemption, and received a fullness of joy. Now, there are many other things that could be said. Let me just sort of summarize some of the things that have already been said pertaining to the great blessings that come through keeping the commandments, obeying the laws. Presently, in his opening message, talked about self-respect. That's a great blessing that we can get if we really keep the commandments. And we won't have self-respect unless we do. A clear conscience, inner peace, the companionship of the Holy Ghost to guide us and direct us. The word of wisdom has had very special meaning in my life. I've had a great love for athletics. I've been interested in education. I've always treasured in my heart the promises given in verses 18 to 21 of the 89th section of the Doctrine and Covenants. And all saints who remember to keep and do these sayings, walking in obedience to the commandments, shall receive health in their navel and marrow to their bones. And shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures, and shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. And I, the Lord, give unto them a promise. The destroying angels shall pass by them, and not destroy them. What great promises. My brothers and sisters, let me just end by emphasizing eternal happiness, eternal joy, and eternal life. And those are related, of course. They're tied together. They cannot be separated. I leave you my testimony, my brothers and sisters, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the way to shore and to safety and to happiness here and joy eternally. And I bear testimony that God does live. His Son Jesus Christ lives. The gospel of Jesus Christ is true. And we have a true and living prophet guiding us today, pointing the way and a guidance and direction from on high in the troubled conditions under which we live. I leave you that testimony, my brothers and sisters, in all humility, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.